Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
It is very natural for us to put ourselves in front of others, believing that our wants, desires, needs, and problems should take precedent over those of others. In other words, being selfish comes naturally. We are born with the condition of sinfulness, and there's a relationship between sinfulness and selfishness. But when one grows spiritually, when one begins to submit to the things of God, then their perspective changes drastically. With that said, take out your Bible and open them up to the book of Genesis and chapter 44. The book of Genesis, chapter 44. We left off last week with Benjamin, that is Benjamin, being found with Joseph's cup. Now, obviously, he did not steal it, but nevertheless, he looked guilty. And all of this is being done by Joseph. He's orchestrating this in order to bring spiritual growth to his brothers. Here again, I've stated several times, he's not doing this of his own initiative. Joseph is hearing from God, and he is bringing about events in their lives in order that they might see things from a proper perspective, from God's vantage point, that they might be led to repentance and turn to embrace the things of God. So we find that Benjamin, from a visual standpoint, is guilty, and according to the rule, he is going to have to stay in Egypt and cannot return back to the land of Canaan in order to be with his father. And we emphasized last week about that special relationship between Yaakov and the sons of Rachel. I'm speaking about Yosef, who is believed to be dead, and now Benjamin. These two young men were uniquely tied to Yaakov, that God had purpose for Yosef. And this family, I'm speaking about Yaakov, Rachel, and the sons, they were of special importance. So now what happens? Benjamin, being guilty from an Egyptian point of view, having now to be put into prison and becoming a slave of Yosef forever. Do you see something? Now Benjamin is having apparently the same fate that Yosef, being sold into slavery, and the brothers are responsible. That's how they feel. But if you look now to verse 18, Genesis 44 and verse 18, notice what it says. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Now, I mention Vayigash because that is the name of the Torah portion that this verse begins with. And it's so important because it's emphasized. The sages of Judaism chose this verse to begin a new Torah portion because of its significance. And we call that Vayigash, and he approached. Who's doing that? Yehuda. Here's another good example of Yehuda taking the leadership, even though that he is the fourth son. He is functioning as the leader of the children of Israel. And this fact that he's from the tribe of Judah, this is important because we're seeing a messianic character in the life of Yehuda. Look again, verse 18. And Judah approached him, and the him is Yosef. Now, of course, none of the brothers know that this is Yosef that they have been dealing with, and that's still the case. And Yehuda said, and we have a term of beseeching, one of great respect. He says, we might translate it, please, my Lord, your servant, and he's speaking about himself, Yehuda, your servant, he will speak a word in the ears of my servant. Now, this means that he's asking permission when he says, please. Uses two different words. One is be, and the other word, na. Usually, only one of them is reflected in the text, but both are there in the Hebrew. So it's a strong beseeching, a request that comes with great respect. In other words, Yehuda is humbling himself. And humbling himself in two ways. One is what he's willing to do, and we'll come to that in a moment. How he's willing to exchange his life for the life of Benjamin. And he does that out of love and submissiveness to his father. Now, I hope that sounds familiar. When we speak about humbling oneself, there's a great passage of scripture that speaks to that. From the book of Philippians in chapter 2. And we see a connection. Because I began our study in this passage around not being selfish. Considering others ahead of yourself. And in Philippians chapter 2, that is exactly what Paul admonishes you and me and all believers to be. To esteem others in front of ourselves. To put greater importance on their life than we do on our own life. And having said that, then Paul moves to discussing Messiah. When he says, let this mind be in you that was in Messiah, who humbled himself and humbled himself to death, death on a cross. So we find something similar because Yehuda, he says, please, my Lord, let me speak a word in your ear. Now, what that means is, and it's a unique construction and it's very clear what he's saying. He says, I want you to hear me, but he doesn't use the word lakshiv, to listen to me, please. Or the word lishmoa, I want you to hear and respond to what I'm saying. No, he uses the word, which means to hear, but it has within this word, the word ear. And it means to draw close in order to put something in the ear of another. And usually, it is done through a whisper. Going right up to someone and whispering, saying softly something in their ear. Now, obviously, there's a reason for this. He doesn't want the others to understand or know what he's going to suggest. He's doing it privately. Now, there are those among the rabbinical commentators that says that it's a request, but it's almost a demand, that he is saying it with great strength and commitment. So look again at verse 18. We find in the middle of the verse that he says, please, my Lord, let your servant speak a word in the ears of my master. Do not be angry with your servant, for as you, as Pharaoh. So he realizes that this one that he's speaking to, Yosef, doesn't know it's his brother. But he understands his power. He understands that this man is like Pharaoh standing before him. And he gives all the respect that he can to this one. And he says, look if you would to verse 19. He reviews something. He says, my Lord asks his servants, saying, and his servants is his brothers, these 11 sons of Yaakov. He says, my Lord, that is Yosef, this ruler of Egypt, you ask your servants, that is us, saying, is there to you a father or brother? So he says, I want you to understand what has happened here. You ask us if we have a father or a brother. Verse 20. And we spoke to my master, we have a older father of Zaken, and the child of his old age is very young. He's a small one. And his brother is dead. So we have here them saying, yes, we have an elderly father, and the son of his old age is very young, and his brother is dead. Well, obviously, the dead brother, so-called, is actually who they are addressing. Look on, verse 20, second part. And he remains alone with his mother. So what he's saying is that this young boy, and the reference is Benjamin. He remains alone. The father remains alone from his wife, because she's already dead, obviously. And the only one that remains to Yaakov is who? This son, Benjamin. And we read at the end of verse 20, it says, and his father loves him. And this is to show not a preference, but a special connection. Now, we know that Yaakov, the woman that he loved, the one that he put his heart to marry, was Rachel. And now she is dead, obviously, because both Yosef and Benjamin was born to Yaakov when he was older. We've talked about how he had more time to spend with them. The other brothers were much older, and they were running the estate. So Yaakov was free to invest in Yosef, and now after Yosef's demise, from his standpoint, he put all of his energy into Benjamin. And it says, his father loves him. Look now to verse 21. And you say to your servants, bring him down unto me, that I might place my eye upon him. So in saying, you requested that we bring him down, and we said to my Lord, it is not possible for this young one, this young man, to leave his father. For if he leaves his father, he, meaning the father, will die. So they did not want to submit to this request. Verse 23. But you said to your servants, if your brother does not come down, your younger brother does not come down with you, you will not be able to see again my face. Now, what's the implication? We talked about this, that they won't be able to buy any more food without Benjamin being with them. So they are just referring now to, Yehuda is referring now to the situation and what's transpired. Look again to verse 23. The emphasis is, if we don't bring Benjamin, we couldn't see your face. Therefore, verse 24, and it came about that we went up to your servant, my father, and we told to him the words of my master, meaning this leader in Egypt, Yosef. And he said, that is, our father said, go down and buy for us a little food. Now, it's literally the word to return, and that's important. Return back, but here's what you need to understand. This word for returning is also the same root for the word repentance. The rabbinical commentators, many of them emphasize this, that their return back to Egypt the second time to buy food was primarily for them to repent of that sin that they had committed more than 20 years earlier. So God's at work in bringing this special time, and it's at hand. And we see that Judah is beginning to show the fruitfulness of a repentant heart. Why? We'll come to that in a moment. So once more, our Father said, return and buy for us a little food. Verse 26. And we said, we are not able to go down unless our little brother is with us. Then we will go down. So they're not being disobedient. They're saying, we can't do it. But if you allow Benjamin to accompany us, then we will obey. We will go down, he says, and do so. Then we will go down, but we are not able to see the man's face unless our little brother, that he's with us. So if he's not with us, as it says here, we're not able to see this man's face unless he's with us. Verse 27. My father, your servant, unto us said. Now, what it says is that Yaakov, and it's emphasized, your servant, meaning we have no adverse intentions whatsoever. Your servant, our father, literally he's speaking in the first person, my father, said unto us, you know that two, meaning two sons, were born to me from my wife. Very simple, that it's emphasized here, my wife, meaning Rachel. This is the family that he acknowledges first. And one has gone forth from me, and I said, surely. Now he doesn't know this, but he's saying, surely he was torn into pieces. And I have not seen him until now. So at this time, who's being spoken of? Yosef is. In fact, when you look at this, we find that even though Yosef, from their standpoint, has been dead over 20 years, they're constantly remembering him. Bad things happen, they say it's because of what we did to Yosef. And it's foundational here. They are constantly having this sin brought to their memory because they've never repented, they've never dealt with it, they've never confessed it. Not only their sin to Yosef, but what they had done to their father by committing this act of betrayal against his son, against Yosef. Verse 29. He says, and if you should also take this one from before my face and a son. Now, many Bibles translate it differently, but it's simply the word for a disaster or a catastrophe. Here, what it means in this context is some unforeseen event that is going to have disastrous consequences. So he says, you shall take also this one from before my face, and if a disaster should happen to him, then you will bring down my gray hair, be'ra'ah. Now, different English Bibles translate this differently, but the word is be'ra'ah. Ra'ah means that which is evil, with evilness. What he's saying is this, if this happens, then I am going to be changed. This event is going to transform me, and I'm going to not be able to fulfill God's will. I will not be able to carry out what God wants me to do because I'm going to be so dejected, so devastated by this, that you'll bring me down with evilness to Sheol, the place of the dead. And now, here again, Judah is speaking. He's saying, this is what's happened. And he says, now, if I should come to your servant, my father, and as you're saying, what you have ruled, if this young man, meaning Benjamin, is not with us, it says his soul is connected to his soul, meaning this. Benjamin, in a unique way, I believe in a spiritual way, his soul, the soul of Benjamin, is connected, it's intertwined with the father, Yaakov. And he says, if I should come back before my father, and Benjamin is not with me. He says, verse 31, and it shall come about when he sees that the young man is not with us, he will die. So he's so sure. Now here's the point. We see something very important. Because earlier on in the previous chapter, in order to get permission, he says, Dad, you can trust me. You give him to my responsibility, and I'll bring him back. And if I don't, then it will be a sin against you all the days. Meaning, I will be ultimately and forever seen as sinful in your sight, because I did not carry out my word, my pledge. So we find that Judah, he spoke very strong in order to get Yaakov, his father, to agree to send Benjamin with him. So look once more, verse 31. And it shall come about when he sees that the young man is not, meaning not with us, he will die, and your servants will have brought down this gray-haired man who is your servant, our father, in great, and the word here is yagon, great despair, great emotional hardship. He says that we will have brought down our father to Sheol, the place of the death, with great despair. And that's just beyond what Yaakov can bear. Now look at verse 32. Because your servant, and he reminds us of what I've already spoken about. He says, because your servant, speaking of himself, Yehuda, because your servant is responsible for this young man from before his father, saying, if I do not bring him unto you, I have sinned against my father all the days. So what's taking place here is Judah saying, listen, this is a big deal to me and a big deal for my father. And we are your servants. We have no adverse plot, plan, desire, action against you. All we did was to come here to buy food because we were starving. And we were honest with you. We told you about our elderly father. We told you about that small brother, his young son, that remained with him in the land of Canaan. You see that everything that we have said has been true. Now, that is the matter of record. But realize something. There's one thing that they have not said. They simply have said about Yosef that he is not Einenu in Hebrew. He's no longer. But they have not confessed to this man what is the reality. There was that other brother who's not. But this is what happened. We sold him into slavery, heading for, well, where you are in Egypt. And the only reason our father, that he believes that he's dead, is because he saw this garment that he gave to his son that was stained with blood, and he assumed a wild animal had torn Yosef into pieces. Now, that's what they have said, but they know this is not the case. They know that Yosef wasn't torn by a wild animal. They dipped that garment in blood. And they know that he's sold into slavery. They don't know what's happened. They're assuming that he's dead, and here's the reason. Because they wanted him to die. They wanted nothing more to do with him. And because of rejecting God's prophetic plan for Yosef, and them not submitting to God's call upon Yosef, now we see they are in a disastrous position. both emotionally and from a family standpoint. They're thinking about two things. One, the pain that is going to happen to their father, Yaakov, when they return back to the land as they were instructed at the end of chapter 33, or the first part of chapter 44. As they were grieved with the thought of going back to the land without their brother. And also the fact that their brother would be a slave for the rest of his life, far away and removed from them. It was beyond what Judah was able to handle. And therefore, because he wanted to not sin against his father, and that's so important, Judah did not want to sin against his father. Notice what he says. Look now to verse 33. And now, and this is a word for urgency, also it can be for importance. And now, hurriedly, with a sense of urgency, he wanted to settle this because it was important to him. And now, your servant will sit in the place of the young man. And he says, and to be a servant to my master. What he's saying is this: allow me to take his place. Now, from a sight position, it appears to everyone that Benjamin is guilty. We know that he's innocent. But from a standpoint of the facts that were in place in evidence, Benjamin, he looks guilty. Yehuda thinks he's guilty. And what he's willing to do now is to pay the price of Benjamin's sin in order that Benjamin goes free. Who's doing that? Yehuda. Yehuda is the tribe that is the messianic tribe. And what it's teaching us is about the work of Messiah. That Messiah, he is going to pay the price for our sinfulness in order that we might go free, that we don't experience that eternal consequence of our sin. That's one of the principles that's being reviewed and relayed to us. So what does he say? Look again at verse 33. And now, allow your servant, speaking of himself, Judah, to set or take the place of this young man. And he implies to be the servant. I'll be your slave, is what he's saying. I'll be the slave of my master, of yours. And the young man, he will go up with his brothers. For how could I go up to my father and this young one not be with me? He's saying, how could I be the one to go back to my father without Benjamin? After I've promised, after I've said, if he's not with me, it'll be a sin unto you all the days. He does not want to live in the consequence of sin. Now let me ask you, what about you? Do you want to live in the consequence of sin and stand before your father guilty, having shirked and failed your responsibility for whatever reason? You did not accomplish God's will? Obviously, no. So Judah, he is willing to, and he's intense. He's pleading, he's beseeching with all fervency, allow me to be your servant for the rest of my life, in order that the guilty one, from their standpoint, might go free. He says, lest I should see with evil. That same word we find here, bara. The first time it's in the feminine, the second time it's in the masculine, but it's the same word. Lest I should see the evilness. Now he's speaking about here the reason why the change in the word, same root, just a different form of it, is because it's a different perspective. He's saying, I don't want, it would be evil for me that I should see my father to be found in this way. that he would go down to his death, grieving Benjamin. He says that he should be found, that I should find my father in this way. So it's very clear here in this passage of Scripture how much Judah is thinking not of himself, but of his father and of his brother. Now, this is important because it represents a change, going from a selfish mindset to a sacrificial mindset. And this is the mind that was, is indeed in Messiah. And it also should be the mindset that is and will be in us. That's the key. So over and over in this section of the book of Genesis, we see truth concerning Messiah, and that truth concerning the character of Messiah should also be embraced by us, that we might live in a similar way, that we might find here the truth and do with it as Paul admonishes us. And what is that? Let this mind be that was in Messiah. Let it also be in you. And we could say it this way. This mind, this new way of thinking that was in Yehuda, we need to also have that, where we put others before ourselves, their needs, their situations take precedence over us because of what we find in the new covenant, same message. Esteem others greater than yourselves. Humble yourselves and think about others before you think of yourself. And in doing so, you are going to grow and walk and behave in the likeness of Messiah, who did not consider himself, but humbled himself even to death, death on a cross. Well, I'll stop with that until next week, and we press on into a new chapter, chapter 45. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.